Torah portion Re'eh contains the second description the Torah gives of the various types of living creatures which are kosher to eat. When it comes to the animal kingdom, as we all know, a kosher animal has split hooves and chews its cud. It re-chews its food. What is the rationale behind the choice of these particular animals as the kosher ones? In the kosher laws, as with all laws of the Torah, the real reason in essence is beyond our understanding. But nevertheless, the Torah gives us the possibility, and even the responsibility in most of them, to try to bring them into our rational understanding. One of the explanations for the various laws of kashrus is that when one ingests non-kosher food, it has a deleterious effect on one's personality. There are various unholy traits inherent in the non-kosher animals which become part of the person, not only physically, but spiritually, and part of his personality makeup. Kosher animals, therefore, contain within them the potential to enhance the person's personality and his ability to be holy and close to God. When it comes to the kosher status of an animal, a behemah in Hebrew, the particular effects of its ingestion will affect the animal soul of a person, as Jewish writings describe two general categories within the person's soul. There is the godly soul, this which involves itself with spiritual activities primarily, and the animal soul, which primarily involves itself with those activities which a person shares in common with an animal, such as eating and drinking and other activities associated with the physical world. How it is that a Jew should behave towards the physical world is alluded to in the various signs that the Torah gives us for determining a kosher animal. First of all, the kosher animal must have a hoof. In Hebrew, a parsa. The word parsa or hoof can also mean a separation, a screen or curtain. Where must this hoof be? On the bottom of the foot, where the animal meets the ground. The animal in general represents the person's involvement with the physical world, the quote-unquote lower aspects of his daily life. However, even the animal is not totally on the ground. There is one part of the animal which is the lowest part of the animal. The head is not in contact with the ground usually. It is the feet which are in contact with the ground. In this point of contact between the animal and the earth, there must be a separation. There must be a curtain. When this animal has to do with the most physical part of the world, there must be somewhat of a separation. It must not have total involvement. This is the significance of the hoof. What then is the split hoof? The explanation of this is that a Jew must not be separated from the physical world. To have only a parsa, a separation, only the hoof, there must be a hole in the hoof. The split hoof allows air to go through and through, indicating that a Jew must be involved in the physical world, but there must be a window of light there. His physical activities must be illuminated with godliness. When he eats, it must be in a holy fashion. He must eat kosher food only, and he must do so with a blessing before and after eating, and he must do so with the intention of serving his Creator. He is not totally separated from the physical world, as would be indicated by the hoof, the parsa, the curtain. There is a hole there. He has an involvement with it, but his involvement with it is in a different way. It is in a spiritual way, an illuminated way. What is the significance of the chewing of the cud? Physically, a cow, for example, has an extra stomach that after chewing and swallowing the food once, it regurgitates and chews the food again. As the expression goes, even in English, that one chews something over in one's mind. That at the point of contact where the animal eats grass from the ground, it chews it over not only once but a second time. As if to think over a second time, does it really want to swallow this down? Is this part of the physical world that the animal really wants to make part of himself? And in our case, the animal soul, which might have a capability, might be allowed to be involved in certain physical things. That doesn't mean that it must be involved in them. As the famous Chassidic saying goes, that this which you are not allowed, you are certainly not allowed. And this which you are not allowed, it doesn't mean that you must have it. In Yiddish, was me tarnisht, tarmenisht, and was me megeh, darfmenisht. These, then, are the characteristics which we absorb and incorporate into our personality through the consumption of kosher food. Consumption of kosher food gives the person the ability to separate himself and look at the physical world from a different perspective, that he doesn't necessarily need everything that he sees. And this is indicated by the panse, the hoof, which separates the animal from the ground. Secondly, it gives the person, in those physical activities which he does involve himself in, to illuminate them and make them holy, to make them godly, indicated by the split hoof, the hole, the separation in the hoof. Thirdly, when it comes to his involvement in the physical world, to eating something or to buying something, for example, he will have the calmness and presence of mind to think over and decide, is this something which furthers his personal goals? Will this bring him closer to his Creator, or will it not? The consumption of kosher food gives him an increased ability to do so, and this is indicated and alluded to in the sign of chewing the cud, that the animal chews over the food before it is swallowed.